warm welcome again to everyone who's gathered with us this evening. Just another announcement that there is the Wednesday Club Social. That's on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have something from the girls from the Wednesday Club, and our speaker is Gordon McCracken. It'll be lovely to see each and every one of you with us. I wonder if you might turn in our Bibles, please. If you have a Bible with you, turn in the Old Testament to the book of Leviticus, please. And chapter 10. Leviticus 10 and verse 1 says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified or made holy in them that come nigh me, and before all the people will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said." And John's Gospel, please, chapter 14. Beginning our reading at verse 1. The speaker is the Lord Jesus. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we do trust that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word this evening. These passages might not seem like they have much in common. Probably upon first reading they don't. But when you look closer, they do. They have people going somewhere. But they have them going into these places by two separate ways. One right and one wrong. So I want to look there in Leviticus 10 at what I've called nothing serious. Because at first glance, you read, you don't know much about the Old Testament, you look and you read that these men have taken incense before God and have burned that incense. And God burns them. And at first glance, we wouldn't think that anything serious. To look at it, we would say, well, why has God burned these men? For burning incense in his presence. So we'll call that nothing serious to the human eye anyway. And then we have John chapter 14. And here, we're given a truth that we really hope to focus in on this evening. That this is something serious. And that there can be nothing but the Son. That is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And then, again from Leviticus, we want to look at a third point, and that is no second chances. Because that's what the gospel is, friend. When we preach the gospel this evening, this is your chance to lay hold of the promises that God has offered us. If you reject the promises that God offers you, if you reject the Lord Jesus the way the Jews did, then there are no second chances. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We won't. God has ordained one place for people who reject Him. The place that we read of endured as the blackness of darkness forever. The place that we read of in Revelation as that lake of fire. No second chances. And the only way that we can avoid that is by the Son. So nothing serious in Leviticus. Curious title. Well, I suppose it would be. I suppose that most people would deem this as quite a trivial thing. Just a burning of the wrong incense. But the real key to the passages earlier on in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, and in the earlier parts of Leviticus, God spends something like 20 chapters telling Aaron, that is a high priest, and Nadab and Abihu, and Eleazar, and the other son, who are the priests, exactly how he should be worshipped. God spends all of that time with Moses on Mount Sinai telling them, this is the way I am to be worshipped. This is the only basis by which people are allowed to come into my presence. God gives 613 commandments in Sinai. But the majority of the time is spent speaking about how people should approach Him. He is God. He is the maker of all things. And so He, quite rightly, deems it appropriate to speak to people about the reverence and the respect that they should approach Him with. And He sets out there in Leviticus sacrifices that have got to be offered before people can come into His presence. If you look at the layout of the tabernacle in Exodus, then as soon as you go in the door of the courtyard, you come across an altar. God's word to us, as it was to the people of Israel in the wilderness, is that you cannot come into my presence without a sacrifice. If you haven't been to the altar and witnessed the lamb burnt holy to ashes for you, then you cannot come in to my presence. You approach further in that tabernacle, and you come across a brass laver, a big bowl in which the high priest and the priests and the Levites had to wash themselves. God's word to us and God's word to the Israelites is that you have to be pure to come into my presence. God spends all of this time setting out these sacrifices by which we can come into His presence. God spends all of this time setting out rituals that we have to go through, or that the people of Israel had to go through before they could come into His presence. And so you can see why God responds in the way that He does in Leviticus 10. When people choose to ignore those rules, you can see why, when He spends so much time telling people about the reverence and the respect that they have to show to Him before they even think about coming into His presence, when He speaks to them about the sacrifice that there has to be, and about the purity that's needed, and about the holiness that you have to attain to before you can come into His presence, then you can see why He responds in this way. When Nadab and Abihu, those who were responsible for the enforcement of those rules, those who were the most well taught of those rules, and the whole of Israel, decide to flaunt them. We would gather from later on in Leviticus 10 that these men, the most well taught, had so little respect for God that they were probably drunk when they went into the tabernacle. And they took of incense, which God had said they weren't to touch, or that they weren't to use in His presence. So these drunk men go into a tabernacle, the holy place, and totally flaunt God's laws. These men, as I've mentioned, were priests, supposed to have been the holiest of all, those set apart for the service of God for all time. And they think that they're able to flaunt God's laws, come into His presence. I don't know whether they thought that because they were of the line of Levi, or because they were of the line of Aaron, that they had some right to do this. I don't know whether they thought it was because they were born into that family that they had a right to go into God's presence without meeting His stringent restrictions. But whatever it was, they seemed to think that they had some sort of right. They seemed to think that all of God's laws and all of the curses that He promises if you flaunt His laws didn't quite apply to them. They obviously thought that they could meet with God, and that they could meet with God on their terms, no His. I hope you're not like that tonight, friend. I hope that you don't think that because of who you are, or because of who you know, or because of what your family believe, or because you have church membership, that you have some right to come into God's presence on your own terms. I trust that's not the case tonight. I trust that there's no one in here who thinks that they can enter in by their own way. So let me tell you, friend, you can't. Nadab and Abihu found that out the hard way. Nadab and Abihu became the sacrifice. They were the ones that were burnt holy to ashes. Because they entered into God's presence without sacrifice. They entered into God's presence without purity. They entered into God's presence without reverence. And He burned them. And we don't know that he didn't just singe them, because they carried them out in their jackets. When God punishes irreverence, he does it right. When God punishes those who think that they can just enter into his presence, who think that they can come before him in their own terms, he does it right. God set out a way. God has ordained a path by which we can meet with him, by which we can come into his presence and abide with him eternally. And let me tell you, it's not in our terms. It's not by any merit of our own. It's only by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me that I can go to be with God. Only by the Son. Nothing but the Son. That Son of whom we speak, who was he? That path that God has ordained, that way that God has ordained, is his eternal Son. His eternal Son, who gave himself for me. He became that sacrifice. He became that lamb, burnt holy to ashes for me. He offered himself up to be nailed to a cross of wood, to be beaten, to be spat upon, to be mocked, to be crucified, the cruelest of all deaths, cross death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, that we might gain a way into God's presence. Those are the terms that God has given us. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way into God's presence. He is the only sacrifice for sinners. He is the only one who is able to purify us. When you go into the tabernacle and you go through the actual tent and you enter into the holiest of all, there is a seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. That seat had to be sprinkled with blood before any man could come into the presence of God. Jesus Christ is our blood sprinkled mercy seat. The blood of the Lord Jesus is the only means by which we are able to come into God's presence. When that seat isn't sprinkled with blood, it stops being the mercy seat. It stops being the place of grace where the glory of the Lord dwells. Instead of being the mercy seat, it becomes the judgment seat. God put his Son in front of a judgment seat that a Roman soldier sat upon. God put his Son in front of Pilate's bema and allowed him to be punished. God hung the Lord Jesus between heaven and earth and poured out all of his wrath and all of his fiery indignation upon the Lord Jesus, so that we wouldn't have to go through that. God gave his Son that we would never have to encounter that judgment seat. That when we meet God, it would be a mercy seat that God would see. Not a judgment seat. But it would be a place of mercy that God would send us to. That God would bestow upon us his gift of eternal life. But friend, if the mercy seat's not sprinkled with blood tonight, if you haven't been to the altar and witnessed a lamb burnt to ashes for you, if you haven't placed your trust and your faith in that one who is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world, then God is a righteous God, a God who must punish sin, a God who must punish those who approach him without the blood of Christ. And he will. And he does. And even tonight he will be sending people to an undone eternity because of the rejection of this message which I preach this evening. There are people in hell this evening. Don't use it lightly. There are people in hell this evening because they came into God, because they fell into eternity without the blood of Christ. We will all meet God. None of us escapes that. It's appointed unto man once they die, and after that the judgment. But we will all be judged. We will all meet God. And it's only those who have a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, who have the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth from all sins, only they will be allowed to enter into the holiest of holies. Only those will be allowed to enter into God's presence. Only those will be allowed to dwell with them forever. There is a man, we don't know his name, he's simply referred to as the rich man in Luke 15. This rich man put all of his trust in his riches and forgot the Saviour. There was another man in the same chapter. He put his faith in God. These two men died around the same time. And we read this, that the poor man with no riches became the richest of the two. He went straight to be with God. Where did the richest man go? To hell. Forever. Was he given a second chance? No. I spoke to somebody the other day there, whose belief was that God, when we meet Him, will be quite happy to bargain. That we'll be allowed to ask Him some questions, and that He'll be allowed to ask us some questions, and that we'll all be able to work it out, and that at the end of the day, we'll explain away our ignorance, and God will be quite happy, and He'll just welcome us in. That's absolute nonsense, by the way. There are no second chances. There is no plea bargaining with God. There is only one substitute who's taken upon Himself our punishment. And only through faith in Him can we be pardoned. And let me tell you that it's not when God opens the door to hell, shows you what it's going to be like, that we're allowed to put our faith and our trust in Him. The only opportunity that we get to place our trust and our faith in the Lord Jesus is in the here and now, not the there and then. When you get to the judgment seat, when you get to the great white throne of God, that place that is so magnificent, that is so pure, God doesn't want to talk. He'll just send you straight to hell. That's the truth of it, friend. We can't water it down. We can't tell you that you're going to go to purgatory and we'll pray for you. Because that's nonsense as well. There are only two destinations. There is only heaven and there is only hell. There is no plea bargaining with God. There is no second chance. There are people this evening in heaven. And I can say that with joy because I know those who have passed into God's presence over the past few years. And I know that those people have gone to be with the Lord. And I know that they're there this evening. And I know that the only way that they were able to get there was by a blood-sprinkled mercy seat. We might think it nothing serious to meet God on our own terms. We might think that if we meet God on our own terms, then we'll be able to explain our own terms away. Nadab and Abihu prove conclusively for us that we can't explain ourselves away. God didn't singe their eyebrows and ask them to rethink it. God burnt them, cast them outside the camp. When you meet God, God will no singe you and ask you for a second opinion. God will judge you. He will find you guilty of every charge. He will condemn you. He will cast you out into the outer darkness. The Bible says that there will be a wailing and a gnashing of teeth. That's the way the authorised version puts it in. Quite a quaint description. Really what it means is there will be screaming and a great torment. It's not a nice place, the outer darkness. It's not a wise decision this evening, friend, to leave this place still sticking to your own terms. It's not a wise decision, friend, to come before God in eternity to come and try to re-bargain. Let me tell you the best decision that you can make this evening, friend. To trust in the Lord Jesus would be your best move. To be washed in the blood of the Lamb this evening would be your best move. How do we do that? Do we need to bring a sacrifice? No. There is no sacrifice that we could bring that is great enough. God has offered up His sacrifice. And by that we can be brought into His promise this evening. God loved us and gave His Son to die for us. The Bible tells us that herein is love. Not that we love God, that God loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation or the well-pleasing sacrifice for us. He that hath the Son hath life, says the Bible. He that hath not the Son shall not see life. Those who are sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus this evening shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth upon them. Keep it rest upon Nadab and Abihu. Don't let it come to rest upon you. God has punished His Son that you might be saved. Don't reject it tonight, friend. How shall we escape? We won't. What is the way? What do I have to do? Can do nothing. Just simply lay hold of that same Lord Jesus this evening, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We sing a song with the kids at camp. I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, the Lord Jesus is the life this evening, friend. Without the life, there can be no living. I am the way, the truth and the life. That's what Jesus said. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we do just come into Thy presence this evening and we do give thanks, our Father, that the Lord Jesus could say of Himself, I am the way. We give thanks, our Father, that He is the only way into Thy presence. He is the only way that we can be right with Thee. We give thanks, our Father, that He has opened up for us a new and a loving way through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And we bless and thank Thee, our Father, this evening that we have that opportunity that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We give Thee thanks, our Father, this evening that Thou hast offered up Thy Son to be nailed to a cross, to be, our Father, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we bless and thank Thee, our Father, that this evening we can come to that altar where the Lord Jesus was sacrificed and witnessed the Lamb burnt holy to ashes for me. We give thanks, our Father, for the work of Thy Spirit that is salvation. And we do pray, our Father, that we might know life eternal this evening through Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We pray Thy part and blessing upon us, our Father. Pray Thou wouldst trouble the hearts of the unsaved gathered with us this evening. And we pray, our Father, that before the Lord Jesus would come, before, our Father, it would be too late, before they would meet Thee, we pray that they would trust in Thine only begotten. We do commit each and every one to Thee and pray Thy richest blessings upon us in the worthy and precious name of our soon coming Lord Jesus. Amen.